Ever since people could count birds or measure celestial phenomena, they've been contributors to science thanks to their observational skills. At the Environmental Protection Agency, planners want to take this idea of dispersed people observing conditions around them to a new level. It's called citizen science. I interviewed six individuals at EPA on the potential and some results of citizen science. Today, and for the next 2 days, listen as we explore citizen science at the EPA. We start with Tom Burke, Deputy Assistant Administrator and Senior Science Advisor, also head of EPA's research and development.
Citizen science is great. It's not exactly brand new, because a lot of us have kind of practiced citizen science in a very kind of fundamental way. Anybody who ever had a rain gauge out back or a little weather station or things like that, I think people, citizens, the public has always been interested in some involvement in science, but the technology nowadays is bringing us to a whole new era where citizen science is really the future of our knowledge about the environment.
It's really an empowering thing, these small-scale technological breakthroughs that allow anyone to measure something.
Oh, it's amazing. And I remember getting my first watch and being able to know what time it was. I mean, that's really fundamental. But now just think of all the things people can measure on their phone. People with counting their steps to keep in good physical shape. Well, now that's extending to the environment and knowledge by everyone about the quality of our environment.
And what is EPA doing to foster this in the environmental area?
Well, the Office of Research and Development is really focusing on developing new tools to understand this information. If you might imagine, right now, I think everybody kind of knows the air quality index and the monitoring that we do. And your drinking water supply, for instance, gets monitored maybe annually for the quality of the water. Imagine if we develop sensors that are low cost and that people can use in their homes or can have with them so that they get readouts of the air quality, of their drinking water quality. It's just amazing. It magnifies our knowledge of the environment tremendously. It's a whole new lens to see the science of environmental protection.
With that knowledge, though, what can people actually do with it? Suppose you decide, you know, this water is not as great as the city was telling me.
That's a good thing. So right now, I think we're kind of distant from the environment, and it's tough to have people actively involved. But imagine your community, if you could have up-to-date information about things that are important to you, the quality of your food, the presence of pollutants in the air, or the quality of your drinking water. For instance, now, we're all struggling, and I think everyone can identify with the city of Flint and the problem of lead in drinking water. Now, that's a national problem. One of my dreams for citizen science is to have indicators of water quality that people can use in their homes to understand the quality of that water and to assure that that water is safe to drink. And that's the kind of direction that we're taking on things. By having more knowledge about pollutants in our environment, about the quality of our environment, I think we all can focus much more on how important the environment is.
It strikes me that, in particular, water is almost also an infrastructure issue, because the American water system is really one of the wonders of the world, that there's fresh water, potable water, almost without question, to every tap in the country. That's unprecedented almost in human history. And so the degree that we can monitor it, we can almost preserve that infrastructure so that the kids will have it also.
Absolutely right. And we like to say we have the safest water in the world. I think we have some challenges in maintaining that infrastructure. But the need to maintain that infrastructure would perhaps be underscored if we get better information about the quality of things. And that goes for air quality and surface water quality and bathing beaches. We are in constant contact with our environment, and it's wonderful to be able to really share new information about it.
And what are some of the technologies coming on that are enabling more people to be gatherers of data?
Well, there are some very interesting sensors for air quality, for instance. So imagine a community that is concerned about industrial sources nearby. For instance, right now in Portland, Oregon, there are folks who are concerned about emissions from a particular facility there of heavy metals. And it's very expensive to bring traditional monitors there and to conduct chemical analysis. Well, we're developing new sensors for certain air pollutants that are portable, that are affordable, that we have repositories for, that people can go and borrow these monitors if they're concerned about a local environmental problem, and it's a great way to make, first of all, trustworthy data. So when data comes from on high and is done by an agency somewhere far away, it's very different than a community being actively involved in gathering that data. And so that, those sensors are going to be very important. And that's a big part of what we're doing now. It really, it's almost going from a traditional old magnifying glass to an electron microscope with the number of data points that we'll have and understanding environmental quality.
Now, when you buy a toaster, it may have a UL rating, so I know it'll work when I plug it in the wall. It won't burn the house down. And when I buy an appliance or a car, in fact, for many years, we've had nice yellow EPA stickers telling me that I have verifiable information about it. Sensors, this is a burgeoning area. I imagine they're made all over the world. Is there a plan to make sure that some standards apply to sensors so that we can have a make sure that the data, whatever it might be, and whatever the pollutant might be, is accurate and repeatable from location to location?
That's a really important question, and yes, it is a scientific challenge. Bad sensors will give us bad data, so there has to be technology developed that is reproducible and reliable and consistent, because bad information could be tremendously misleading. So yes, that's a very important part of this, developing the science correctly, and also knowing what we're going to do with all this new information. How will communities manage it? What does it mean when somebody takes a measurement? For instance, if you took your blood pressure for the first time, and there's these two strange numbers that come out, and if you don't have some basis for comparison or know what, quote, normal is or good, you wouldn't know how to interpret that. Same goes for environmental sensors. Same goes for environmental monitors.
And I guess with citizens doing this, or anyone that wants to, using, say, the EPA toolkit so they use it correctly, then they can get much finer grained and more detailed and more density of sampling than any federal agency or state agency ever could, given the resources available.
Yeah, it's one of the things. We just had an awful lot of snow around here, and the big question was, will it break the records? And it depends on where you measure the snowfall, right? And so Baltimore was always kind of annoyed. Why do they measure snowfall out at the airport when there's 3 feet in my backyard and there's 18 inches at the airport? What's the record? Well, imagine you have measurements from all around a city. You really understand quality, and you understand who might be at risk for high exposure and where you might want to work on environmental quality. It really does give us a whole new lens to look at things.
We're speaking with Tom Burke, the Deputy Assistant Administrator for Research and Development at the EPA. And how is all of this, these projects, citizen science, advancing science itself? Because many of the citizens that are getting data aren't really scientists.
No. Well, the first, probably one of the most important things is citizens can participate in the scientific process and therefore be much more appreciative of what it's all about. So when we have one of our Village Green setups where people can have real-time readouts of the air quality, they can relate to the environment in a different way. But they can also participate in a way that gives credibility and a personal touch to it and contribute to the bigger picture of these new, literally millions of data points that will someday be used to put the puzzle together to understand our environment in a completely different way.
Is there an ultimate goal for all this, or this is something that's going to go on forever?
Well, science always
progresses. How do we know when we're
there? So these tools will progress. Who could have ever thought of all the things that would be on your phone right now? But I would like a little science machine for the environment that everybody carries around and maybe is in everyone's pocket that will give you an understanding of your environment, an understanding of air and water quality, but that can also put that information in perspective, maybe with your own physiology, so that air quality might affect your heart rate and your breathing rate and things like that. It would be incredibly important to public health. It will be incredibly important for future environmental policy. It will identify new problem areas and will also allow us to track our progress in environmental protection. But most of all, people can be involved in the scientific process, and it will demystify something that is now really hard to understand and be part of it and contribute to it and understanding our Earth and our environment a lot better.
And just a small technical question, I suppose you mentioned something people carry around in their pocket. Yeah. I imagine the smartphone has inputs, and maybe the next round of technical development here is peripherals for smartphones that become the sensors.
I could just see the apps now of understanding water quality, put it in perspective with water quality throughout the nation or your community, and to track your progress. Just as you count your steps right now, perhaps, you can count your water quality and understand how things are going and how not just the ambient temperature, but ambient air quality, ambient water quality, and your own drinking water, your own personal environment. It can be terrific, and I think it will give us a lot more insights into that connection between the health of our environment and our own health.
And I can't help but thinking that it's also a small scale but highly scalable way and low cost way for the EPA itself to extend its knowledge and science and abilities.
Absolutely. It'll be a challenge to manage the information, but we'll go from a very limited set of monitoring data, because data right now are expensive and involve laboratories and are costly to collect, but as we move toward citizen involvement and magnifying the amount of our data, it will provide tremendous guidance for us, but will also be low cost and I think much more effective in understanding the variation in our environment and how we can better protect it.
Tom Burke is Deputy Assistant Administrator and Chief Science Advisor at the EPA. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.